Again, we're thankful for all those who choose to be here this morning. We're thankful to see you here. Thankful to have our visitors. We are a church that's just very thankful to see visitors here on Sunday morning, and want to let you know if we can help you in any way, please let us know. If you have any questions about the church, or if you're looking for a church that you'd like to join with and you'd like to know what we believe, we'd be happy to help you with any questions. You can just pull aside any member of the church. They'd be happy to help you. I'm thankful to have my in-laws with us this morning. Monique's parents are here. We're thankful to see them. They came a long way to be with us, and we're thankful they made it here safe. Let's go ahead and start here in Jeremiah in chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 1. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 1. The Bible reads in verse 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." I ask you to bow with me in prayer before we get started. Father God, I just come to you this morning, Lord, just needing your help, Lord, as I do any time that I would stand before you, Father. I just pray today especially that you would guide my mouth, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, just to say the things that would be pleasing to you, Lord, and most of all that someone here could be saved, Lord. Lord, you know the heart of this message, Lord, and I just pray that you would take any of my stumblings or faults or mumblings, Lord, and that you would just take it and, dear Lord, use it for something good so that someone could come to know you this morning, and those of us that are saved could be edified by what it is that you've done for us. And Lord, we just love you so much. We know that, Lord, we wouldn't even be able to be here if it wasn't for you. We just give you the glory, Lord, and we just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, just before I would start preaching, that this message would be to a person here that if you don't know the Lord, or let me just say it this way, if you don't know for sure that if you died today that you would open your eyes in heaven, then I'd like you to listen to this message this morning, because this would be to you. I want you to be able to walk away today knowing that you are saved, and that if you would die today, or if the Lord would come back, that you would be with him. And so that would be the intention of the message. But as always, for those of you who are saved, you might already, some sitting here, especially if you've heard a salvation message 1,000 times, you might be ready to shut her down and just kind of relax. And certainly that's not what we're supposed to do. We should never, as saved people, get tired of hearing salvation messages. We should just always be happy to hear about what the Lord did for us. But even more than that, you know, whenever I preach a salvation message, it's important to us that we be saved, because we know that the Lord would desire for us to help other people to be saved. It's important that you would listen to everyone. Each one would be different in another avenue or way for you to maybe approach someone that doesn't know the Lord, that you could help them and talk to them. So I want to invite you to do that this morning, just to listen and kind of, you know, it's kind of like going to school for when you would go out and tell somebody about the Lord. And also that we would all be in one accord today, that, you know, that those who would be lost could tell that we were concerned for them, and each person in this church was in one accord with what message was being preached, so that they can have even greater confidence that the things that we preach today are true by us having that one accord. But let's look again in Jeremiah 18, and we see here that he's talking about going down to the potter's house. And, you know, I have a little bit of experience with this. My mom does pottery, and she's got the big kiln, and she's got the wheel, and I just have watched her do it. I've never done it, but I've watched her do it, and even as I studied this throughout the week, I went and watched some videos on YouTube, just watching a potter with some clay and watching how it would work. And I think this is a great picture of how the Lord would work on us and desire to change us. Let's look in verse 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." He could have just told Jeremiah right then and there what it is that he wanted him to know. But I believe he went down to the potter's house to show him this potter, because it's such a great example of how God changes and forms us, and especially when we're lost, how he can change us into something new. Look at verse 3. It says, Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. But listen to this in verse 4. And the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. I want you to look back in the beginning of verse 4 where it says, the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Now what this does is it speaks to us as human beings. The first vessel that he made is us whenever we were made just in human flesh and in our natural form. And the Bible says that this clay was marred. And we know that this happened whenever Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that sin was imputed to all of us at that point, and that all of us are sinners, and we've all got a mar in us, or a blemish, if you will, something that's wrong. Something's broken, basically. There's something inside of us that is broken. I believe that's what these verses are trying to tell us. And look again in verse 4, at the end of the verse, he says, so he made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So I want you to notice that he took the same vessel and he made it again. He took what was already there and he remade that vessel. And the crux of what the sermon would be this morning, the thing that I want you to most understand, is that the vessel cannot remake itself. That is the entire point of the sermon this morning. We're going to preach a lot of things, but that is what I want to focus on this morning, is that the vessel cannot make itself. Now, I want to just answer why it is that the vessel couldn't fix itself, why the vessel couldn't make itself new again. And I want you to turn to Romans 3, but hold your place in Jeremiah 18. We will turn back there. Romans 3, starting in verse 10. And again, what we are answering at this point is why it is that the vessel can't fix itself. Why is it that a person cannot fix the problem that has been imputed to them through the sin of Adam and Eve? Why is it that they can't fix the problem? Here in Romans 3, starting in verse 10, the Bible reads, as it is written, there is none righteous. Listen very closely. I know you've maybe heard this verse 1,000 times, but just open your ears to what it is literally saying. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. We are all a product of the fall in the garden of Adam and Eve. And this, again, is why it's so important that we take the Bible literally, because this is where sin is imputed to us. It was in the garden through the fall of Adam and Eve, and that's why creation is so paramount. But I want you to look at verse 11. It says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So let me explain to you, first of all, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit burdening you, if you're sitting here and you're lost and the Holy Spirit has let you know, look, if you have come under conviction this morning that you know that if you die today, you have no idea whether or not you'd be with Jesus. Look, you can look at it two ways. Either you don't know whether or not if you died today, you'd be with Jesus, or you know for a fact that if you died today, that you would go to hell and burn there for eternity. Those two things are good enough for you to know that you definitely do not know where you stand with the Lord. And you need to get it fixed today. But if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit letting you know that, we wouldn't even know. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. No one that has ever existed got lost and just thought to themselves, I want to go seeking after God. God came and searched us out. In verse 11 also it says, there is none that understandeth. So what I get by that verse is that even if we did want to fix it, we would have no clue on how to fix it. We would have no way to know how to fix it. You don't have to turn here, but in Romans 7, Paul says, for I know that what is in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, so I want to fix it, he's saying. He's saying, I know there's nothing good in me, but I want to fix the problem. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Okay, so he says, I have no idea how to fix the problem without Jesus. Let me just say this to those of us who are saved, too. The same rule applies to us. We would have no idea how to fix the problems that were in our life without the Word of God, without being burdened by the Holy Spirit telling us what it is that's good. Even now, inside of our flesh, as people that know the Lord, there is no good thing that lies inside of us. The only good thing that is in us is the Holy Spirit that guides us in all truth. But even if we wanted to do good, even if we wanted to throw good works at it, try to fix the problem, we couldn't do it. What would happen is we throw those good works at it, and the Bible says to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So even if we tried to throw good things at the problem, even if we did have a will to fix it, even if we did have to know how to understand and fix it, which we don't, if we threw all these good things at it, the Bible said that all we would do is work up debt. That the problem would just become worse. We throw good things at it and it just would not fix the problem. And today I want to discuss just a little why it is that you cannot throw good things at God in order to fix this problem that is inherent in us, that lives inside of us. I want you to turn to Isaiah 64. And I want to read to you a verse. And these verses that we would read today are just very familiar verses. But they are so true to the human condition. And I believe the Bible lets us know that there are many who will seek to go into heaven, but few are going to get in. So there are people that are trying to look at it, go in, and they're doing the wrong thing. And I believe the number one thing that is keeping people from being saved and knowing for a fact, without a doubt, that they will go to heaven is trying to work their way into heaven, trying to do something good enough to merit the salvation of our Lord, which is free. Amen. So that, I believe that's the number one problem that, with why people don't get saved. And I think it's spoken of much in the Bible. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. It says, but we are all as the unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So whatever we try to offer to God, if we think that we've got something good, if it's good works, if you think, you know, you can help an old lady across the street 1,000 times or give money to the poor, you know, whatever you would think that you can do to merit God's forgiveness or to fix the problem, the Bible says that God looks at those things and he looks at them as filthy rags. The Bible says that on the day of judgment, many are going to come to Jesus and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They're going to call him Lord. They thought they knew him. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? And then they'll also say, and in thy name we did many wonderful works. And Jesus says to them, depart from me. I never knew you, workers of iniquity. Depart from me. I never knew you. You thought that you knew me, but I didn't know you. You thought that you knew me because you did all these things. They said, Lord, look at our works. Doesn't this prove that this gets us into heaven? The Lord says, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. And they departed into everlasting fire and torments. And you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem right. To me, whenever I try to logically figure this thing out, it doesn't seem right. This is a person, they're calling him Lord. They're saying, Lord, look at all these things that I've done. You know, why doesn't this stack up with God? Why doesn't God accept that? You know, even if you do a lot of good things, let's just say, and now keep in mind, okay, let's just go back over this. Nobody understands. Nobody seeks after God. We want to try to do good things, but God doesn't accept them as good. He says they're filthy rats. Let me tell you something. You may think that this is something you just know really good because you were raised hearing this kind of stuff, but let me just assure you that people don't know this. Amen? You think everybody knows about this? Look, this is why it would be so easy for us to go out today and become soul winners, because you will be surprised the people that you come in contact with that think that they can do something that's good enough to merit God's favor. The Bible says that everything that we rack up to try to give to God, it just equals debt. It makes it worse and worse. And so maybe you would try to do good things. Maybe you would try to give God all your good and all the things that you could give to him. And you know what happens? Even with all those good things, we think we're going to tip the scale. We think that maybe if we put enough good things on this side and there's some bad things on this side, that maybe the scale will go like this. But the Bible says if you broke the law in even one point, you've broken the whole law. That means if you lied to God, that's the same thing as if you killed somebody. That means if you've stolen something, the entire law is broken. All 10 of the commandments, everything. All of it is broken if you've done one thing according to God. Am I preaching the Bible this morning? Is that true, folks? One thing. You say, that sounds insane. You're telling me if I tell a lie to God, it is the same thing as committing murder? The Bible says if we've broken the law in one point, we've broken the whole law. And that's how God sees it. That's how God looks at us. And let me tell you something. This is how God would begin to fix you if you're here and you're lost. He is starting to fix you by just letting you know that these things are true, letting you know that there's nothing to offer up to God. And Paul says whenever he knew that he was convicted of sin, that the law came in and it slew him. It slew him. It let him know that he was going to hell. And at that point, God convicted him and let him know that he was a sinner. And if he died at that point, he would go to hell. Amen. And that is what he is trying to fix. That is the main thing. And look, I know I could preach today to save people about how God continues to work on us. He continues to be our potter. And that's what he ultimately desires for you, is to be saved and be in the will of God and know that you're going to heaven. And then to just take you and form you into the image of his son. I think the goal is, before we die, we're supposed to try to get as close as we can to what Jesus is, so that when God gets here, he doesn't have to change us as much as he would, if that makes any sense. I think that's the goal. That's what we're pushing towards. But let me tell you, you can't even get started in that until you get saved. Let's go back to Jeremiah 18 again and begin where we read. So again, if you're here and you're lost, and I know that you know this from me preaching to you this, if God has burdened your heart and let you know that you're lost, if you were to die in the condition that you're in today, you would go to hell forever and ever. And there's no middle ground. There's no pass go and collect $200. I mean, that's where you're going to be forever and ever. The Bible says burning in eternity. And I don't just say that to scare you. I say that to let you know that this is where you're headed and to plead with you to try to escape from that place today. The Bible says in Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, now listen, cannot I do with you as this potter? He's saying, don't you think that I can change you? When is it that you're going to stop thinking that you can change you? And this is even for people that maybe you're hearing this and you're here today and you're lost and you're saying, but I'm not, preacher, I've heard that preacher before, I'm not trying to give enough money to get saved. I'm not trying to do good enough works to be saved. But let me tell you something. If you're here and you're not saved and you say, I've tried to be saved, you're still throwing works at God. You're still throwing works at God. You hear me? If you are sitting here saying, I've tried over and over and over to be saved, look, you're still not letting God do the saving. He's the one that can do it. He's the potter. You can't do anything. He is the only one that has the ability to change you. Look in verse 1. The Bible reads again, the word came, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. Listen to this, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Today, you need to believe that this is what God desires. See, if you're sitting here thinking that God just wants to condemn you, even Brother Buddy preached this or taught about this morning that, you know, that God does not desire for us to be in condemnation. He did not. Jesus was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved. That is why God came. And if you're sitting here still today just thinking that God doesn't want to help you, then you're not going to believe that he's going to help you. You have to believe that God desires to fix you. Brother Buddy also read from Psalm 103 this morning, and the Bible says he remembers that we are dust. He knows what we are. He knows our condition and how helpless we are better than we know what we are. He knows how helpless we are better than we could ever figure it out. And the Bible says that he has pity on us. He has pity and he desires to save us. So look, I just want to make this simple today, and I don't want to overcomplicate this. If you're here and you're lost, I just want to tell you exactly how you can be saved and what God has done in order to fix this. And what I'm about to tell you this morning, if you have any doubts about whether or not you're saved, or if you know that you're going to hell today, if you were to die today, I want you to know that this is exactly how you can get saved. If you will just listen to these verses today and take God at his word, he will save you before we walk out of the door today. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And so much of this, even some of the things that we've covered today and we'll continue to cover, I hear back in the Sunday school lesson this morning, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I was happy to be able to be here for the Sunday school message, and we're thankful for Brother Buddy and the work that he puts into it and the preparation that he puts into the lesson. And I look through it, I always just laugh because, you know, God, it's like there's nothing coincidental. The things that Brother Buddy talked about this morning, so many of those things that we're going to cover today, even Psalm 103. And just how God works everything together for just this point to where you are today. If you're hearing your loss, he's really just put all the pieces together in order for you to be saved. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And we're just going to go through these verses here up to verse 20. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God made a way for us to become new so that we could be accepted of him. He made us, he can make us into a new creature. It says in the end of the verse, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let me explain something to you. And I know, again, these might be some of those doctrines that you say are just so simple and so basic. But I just want to tell you this morning that when God forgives you of your sins and you become a child of his, he saves you once and for all. And just like at a Psalm 103 this morning, he takes our sins and he throws them as far as the east is from the west. And in our sins and our iniquities, the Bible says, he remembers no more. He completely forgets about them. They're gone. He doesn't dig up bones like some people like to do. He doesn't tell us what we did in the past. They're gone forever. And furthermore, even the sins that we are committed, as far as what sins would bring us into condemnation, all continue to be under the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wipes all those things away so that we can be accepted of God and to get into heaven. It says in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." It says in verse 18 again at the beginning, all things are of God. Not of my efforts, not of Brother Alton's efforts. No one can do it except for God. All things are of God. He made the vessel in the first place. He made everything in this world in the first place. Everything is of God, and he is the only one that can make change. He is the only one that has the ability to create, period. All the scientists in the world will just continue to strive at trying to create something that is new. But they can't put all their heads together and make one grain of sand. Amen? Not one. Only God can create. Only God can make things new. In Titus 3 and verse 5, and you don't have to turn here. Brother Buddy read this morning. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing and regeneration," and listen to this, "and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Why is that again? Why isn't it by works of righteousness? We covered it already. Because we've got no righteousness. We can offer him nothing. There's nothing that we can offer that is acceptable to God. Only Jesus could offer something that would be acceptable to God, and it was his blood. The Bible says that he has reconciled the world to himself by Christ Jesus. Jesus was the only one that could offer up anything to God. He says that he became sin for us. He was crucified on the cross. All of our sins, everything that we have committed, Jesus took that on his back. He lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross with all of our sins so that those sins could be crucified. That if we would have faith in that, that God would save you today. And it's so simple, folks. It really is so simple. And sometimes people get on to me for saying that, but I can't stop preaching it. It really is so simple. The only thing that makes it complicated is what we do to it. If you will accept this gift, the Bible says it's a free gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. He wants to just give it to you. Why don't you just let him be the potter? Just let him do what he does. Just let him make you new. Just let him do it this morning. And stop trying to do it. Stop trying to throw works at God and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. If you are here and you're lost today, I want to invite you to bow your head even where you are right now. Do not put it off anymore. If God has convicted you, he is calling you to a call to fix you and make you new. If you're here and you're lost, I just want you to even bow where you are today. You don't have to close your eyes. Don't worry about anybody seeing you. Just stop and say, "God, I know that I'm a sinner." And ask for God to save you. Believe the record that God gave of his son, and he will save you this morning. Look, if there's any confusion about this, if you have any confusion, if I've overcomplicated this in any way, I just want to plead with you to come talk to me. If you do not know where you will go when you die today, if you were to die today, it is the most important thing that you could do to figure that out today. To know for a fact where it is that you would spend eternity. And I want to plead with you that if you're here and you're lost, get it fixed today. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. And let me tell you something. The Bible says we're ambassadors. We beseech you by the grace of God to be reconciled to Christ. I don't want to sit up here and act like I'm something. I'm nothing. There's nothing that I ever did that was good. The only things that I can do good now are because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and he compels me to do good things. I don't want to sit up here and make it seem like, hey, look, I'm better. I think that I know everything. I don't. God's still working on me. But let me tell you something. I can tell right and wrong, and I can know the things that he would want me to do only because of his goodness in me. And the only way that I can even start to give him any works is because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. All the good works that I do are through Jesus Christ, and we have no hope for any goodness without him. And I do not want to sit up here today. Paul says of sinners, I am chief. And I will testify to that today. There is nothing good inside of me. Let me be the example to tell you that you don't need anything good to offer up to God. I could never have offered him anything. And the minute that I stopped trying to offer him something is whenever he saved me. The minute that I just accepted that what he had was free and took that gift that he's given me, he saved my soul. If I can help you, please let me know. We'll have a verse of a song. If you're here and you're lost and you desire prayer, feel free to come up.
Little book, 51.
If you have any burdens or any prayer requests, please let me know.